Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Our homie, Patrick Mahomie.
I don't sing that song for my own personal just fun.
Yo, yo, what up? Chris Sims here. Yep, that's right. The top 40 is coming. We're going to talk about it every episode, every podcast. I have finally ranked my top 40 quarterbacks in football, and I am joined by the great Ahmed Farid today. Thank you very much. Yep. It's so awesome to have you. Thank you. Post-Memorial Day. What up? How you doing? You
good? Good. I'm good. And I'm glad
you're wearing white shoes today.
I'm wearing white shoes, which I forget. You can after Labor Day or you cannot?
No, you cannot after Labor Day. So you're allowed to technically in old school world. It's Memorial Day to Labor Day. Something to do with white is accepted then.
Yeah.
I really don't even know what the history of that is.
From what I understand now, though, the rules of fashion are gone. Like you can wear green and blue. You can do now. Purple.
Yeah, right. Mismatching almost
pink,
is cool. Yeah, no, I know. You buttoning your top button.
Not cool. No. That's still
cool
out.
Cool as it comes.
That's still out.
How dare you?
What
are you talking about?
I am pumped because we do have the top 40.
Right.
Sims top 40 quarterback countdown. And from what I understand, though, this has been reduced. Like in years past, you would do 70 or 80? Did it go 80?
No, it never went 80.
I thought it went 80.
It went 70 only because I boxed myself into a corner.
Why?
With saying. Well, because the year the Jacksonville Jaguars went to the AFC Championship game, right? 2 years ago, the 2017 season. You know, early in the year, they were kind of all over the place. And I went on Dan Patrick, and he was like, what's the deal with Jacksonville? Why are they all over the place? And I said, well, it's pretty easy. I was like, oh, and people aren't taking into account is they have the 70th best quarterback in football, Blake Bortles. I was like, literally every backup in football is better than him. And that's why they're all over the map. And if the defense didn't play perfectly and the run game didn't play perfectly, Jacksonville couldn't win. So it started from there. And then from there, Stu Gatz and Dan Le Batard got a hold of this, right? And, you know, Stu Gatz, if anybody's ever listened to him, he goes, oh, I wonder who 69 is.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing. They reached out to me, and I had had a list of quarterbacks already. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't to 70. But they reached out and like, hey, would you want to come and do this? And I was like, yeah, I could do this. I was like, I only have to fill. I had to fill in the gap with 10 or 15 guys, really. And I went from there, and it became a thing. And it's amazing how much of a lightning rod topic it becomes.
And you went, Blake Bortles, not even in my top 70 quarterbacks. And then you went through the 70, and at 48 was Blake Bortles.
No, negative. This is the best part. I ranked Blake Bortles 70, okay? And, of course, I had a bunch of people who hated me, loved me, whatever. But it was good, fun radio talk.
Blake was one that hated.
Well, I'm sure. And there were some Jaguar fans that hated. And Tony Baselli called in one day and threatened to beat me up. I mean, we had a lot of fun with this. He was legitimately pissed off at me. But I don't know where I was going to go with that story, but I had a point
created a buzz. There was buzz about your top 70 list.
It just became – this is the best part of it. Sorry where I was going with this. So – I say he's 70 all offseason. They wanted to know who 71 was. And I put Cody Kessler there at 71.
All right.
The best thing was the offseason last year.
Yeah.
The year after I had made him 70, they went inside 71. It was like they listened to my rankings, were like, let's not get any of the guys ranked ahead of him to cause a stir.
Yeah.
Let's get the guys that are behind him. Kessler's right behind. Let's sign him.
We don't want a controversy. We don't want a quarterback controversy.
We don't want number 64 in front of 70. And I've gotten some crap from David Caldwell of the Jaguars. And, you know, I did. But it's part of it. And it's not personal. It really is just football, and that's what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, which is personal when your career is football.
It is. I get it. It's personal when you're on the guy that's, yes, being talked negatively about or not
your game, about what you do for a living. But that's what we got to do.
I took it personal as a player, but not overboard personal.
How could you not? Yeah, right?
Not overboard. I knew.
We have a job to do. They have a job.
Right, right. And more times than not, they were right. Like, oh, you know, Chris Sims hasn't been playing well. And then I'd see them in the locker room on Monday. I wasn't like, oh, well, hey, hey, Ira, you're an asshole. How dare you say that about me? No, usually when they said those type of things, like, I had played like shit twice in a week, two times in a row, or blew a game or did something like that. So you just got to be able to, you know.
It's fair. You feel like if it's fair.
You're a professional and you're being paid a lot of money and you're not in college or high school anymore. It's the way it goes. And you knew what you signed up for. So you just got to deal with something.
And if they're always negative and they never, even when you play well, they're still negative. Then
they're just haters you don't even listen.
You don't
Who
talk
cares?
To them anymore.
Right, right.
So we do have the top 40. We've cut it down to 40, the top 40 quarterback countdown. We got your dad on today.
Yeah, we got Big Phil today. First time in 3 weeks. He's finally off vacation from Barbados. He is the only man that could go to Barbados and probably come back whiter. The only guy I know on the planet, he is like Dracula. I mean, and you could ask him some of that. Ask him actually, no, like in all seriousness.
Yeah.
I want you to ask him when he went outside on the daily basis, how much sunscreen he put on. Did he actually ever take off his shirt in the sun at one point? Did he wait for the clock to hit a certain, because I call him Dracula or a vampire at times because we'll hang out at his house in the summertime. And, you know, the kids were playing wiffle ball in the yard all day.
Right.
And dad doesn't come out till like 7 o'clock at night until the sun's like just going creeping behind the trees.
And
you
if
know
he
what I mean?
Does, by accident, he actually hisses. Right? He'll hiss and then he'll go back inside.
He starts melting. Okay. I'm melting.
So I'll ask him about that.
Yeah, please do.
That'd SPF 4000.
Start it off
maybe?
With that.
Okay,
yes.
We'll start it off with him.
Whatever
with
the strongest one being sold is, as I promised, the one he's putting on.
Okay.
Yes.
So we'll talk to Phil in just a bit. But you want to get right into it?
Yeah,
let's
go.
We've revealed two already on PFT,
right?
So two are out there, but we're going to reveal two more in your top 40 after that.
Okay.
So we'll start.
Start with 40, though?
Well, first, let's start with people who you left off. Blake Bortles is still not in the top 40.
Yeah, Blake Bortles is still not on the list. He just missed off. I mean, really, I think realistically.
Has he moved up from 70?
Definitely. And I had made comments last year, saying that he was 70 and made that list. Even before they made the playoff run that year.
Okay.
So he had probably jumped up a few rankings if I had to make a new list later in that year. But yes, he just misses out. There's no Teddy Bridgewater. Alex Smith, I didn't put him on the list with his injury situation, things like that. I just didn't feel comfortable there. And I don't know if he's ever going to play football again. He didn't make the list. So those are maybe the biggest names per se that are out there that I think people might expect to be on here but didn't make the cut.
We do have some new draftees that made the top 40.
I did. I put some of the new draftees. It's projecting. I understand that. But I feel comfortable about ranking some of these guys in front of some of these backups or whoever may be out there. Yes, I do.
One of those was not Daniel Jones. He did not make the
Daniel Jones did not make the list, but it was very close. Again, he was another guy that, yes, I should have brought his name up, that was definitely in the running with the Bridgewaters, the Alex Smiths, the Blake Bortles, to where I just thought, ooh, he's right there in that category with those people.
All right, should we do it?
Let's do it. 40? Number 40?
Number 40.
Number 40.
Chris Sims' top 40 quarterback countdown is
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor. And, Tyrod Taylor, he's done a lot of good things through his career. Certainly has. Kind of been a career journeyman, you know. Baltimore, goes up to Buffalo, does some things there, goes to Cleveland last year, you know, has a decent little start to the year. But, you know, again, I think Tyrod Taylor, the reason he's at number 40, you know, one, he is a game manager. And that's a good thing and a bad thing. But I think it's a really good thing when you're a backup quarterback. I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing when you're the starting quarterback. When you're a game manager and you're a starting quarterback, guys always go, or the coaches or personnel people always go, I think we could do a little bit better here. We could find somebody. So to me, Tyrod Taylor, he does have a strong arm. He's got a pretty quick release. You know, of course, he's a good athlete and extend plays that way. The biggest issue I have with Tyrod Taylor is truly his throwing and ability to make big throws within the pocket down the field. You've heard me say this a little off the air, and this is something that's very important to me as far as evaluating quarterbacks. You know, anybody out there listening or paying attention, you know, the bottom stat line for a quarterback does not say it all. You know, I use this example for you. You know, it's about what's there to be had on a weekly basis. And I think that's the reason Tyrod Taylor's probably found himself in a backup position.
Okay.
He didn't take advantage of what was always there to be had. We saw Baker Mayfield come in for him last year, and what happened right away? Jets game. All of a sudden, it was like zing, 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 ball being down the field. It wasn't like they weren't calling those plays with Tyrod Taylor. No, it was Tyrod Taylor's non-aggressive style of play that led them to never hit some of those passes. We saw Baker Mayfield come in, who had a different mentality. It was just like, I see a win. Window, zoom, I'm throwing it in there. Oh, there's another one, zoom, I'm throwing it in there. Tyrod Taylor, because maybe he was brought up in Baltimore and Buffalo a little bit, you know.
He didn't want to make the mistake.
No mistakes, play through the defense, take care of the football. Yeah. And, hey, like I said, it's a good thing for a backup, but it's not always a great thing for a starter to play that style because you are going to leave plays and yards on the field out there.
So it'll be interesting now. Chargers signed him to a two-year deal,
yep.
$11 million, $6 million guaranteed. That's quite a bit of money for a backup quarterback,
yeah.
for a backup to Phillip Rivers, who I know he's played a ton. I guess the average backup for the Chargers has averaged 5 attempts per year since 2006 when Phillip took over, and Phillip has not missed a start since taking over. So chances are they won't have to
probably
use
not, no.
Tyrod.
No.
But they have perhaps the best safety net in football in Tyrod Taylor.
Listen, as I sit here and talk about Tyrod Taylor, do I sit here and go, I probably could have ranked him a little higher? I'm not even going to lie. If I was going to self-scout myself right away.
We're into the first one you're already questioning.
You're right. Well, I am a little bit that way. I know you don't know me that well yet, but I'm always picking at it myself. I mean, whether I get done with this show, the PFT show in the morning. And yeah, this one is iffy, certainly. I get it. But to your point with the Chargers, I think we have to hit on that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good topic to hit on at some point here during the offseason. But they got a Super Bowl caliber football team. Do you really want to risk it if Phillip Rivers finally did go down and have some backup that's never played in any big moments or has, you know, no experience at all? So to me, that was a brilliant signing by them. Here's a guy that started a playoff game. He's played in a lot of big football games and certainly been around the block. To me, to where that made a lot of sense in making that move. And you're right. I mean, they probably won't play because Phillip Rivers is a tough SOB, and he's not tough like quarterback now tough. I look at Phillip Rivers and go, like, in the 70s and 80s, he would have been tough for that era, too, at quarterback. He's that kind of guy.
You see it a lot, too, in baseball, and it makes a whole lot of sense. The smart teams will do that. They'll look at their roster, and they'll go, okay, we have an elite center fielder. We have nothing behind him.
Yeah, right.
And so where are we most vulnerable?
Yes.
Where could it go wrong for us? And I guess for most teams, that is the quarterback position.
Right.
You know, if your quarterback gets hurt, for most teams, it could really go south. But, yeah, they've made the decision that we're going to protect ourselves a little bit here.
Well, yeah, and just you don't want it to go too far south. Like you said, your point is right. You're going to go south a little. There's a reason the guy's the starter and the guy's the backup, but you don't want it to have to go so south that you're going, holy cow, we have to totally change the style of play on the offensive side of the ball because this guy's so much less than our starter that we can't even do the same things on offense anymore. And I think that's kind of what you're saying there.
I was looking through some of his stats in 2017, lowest interception percentage in the league. And that's kind of talks to your point about taking the safer route, which maybe was what they said in, you know, Buffalo.
Yeah, it was certainly style of play.
The offense. But I covered Tyrod. I worked in Norfolk, Virginia, in that Hampton Roads area for like five years. I covered Tyrod Taylor in high school when he was playing Hampton Crabbers and Mike Smith.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Went to play for Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech. I covered him over there, too. Here's the thing. We got the 40 top quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, the guy's down 40. Okay, they're okay. I mean, he was so good, and he is so good, obviously.
Right.
He was so good in high school. No one even could come close to him. He could do whatever he wanted. He could throw it. He could run. He could probably run for 300 yards every single game in high school. He was that dynamic of an athlete. He wasn't up there. It was just recently after Michael Vick played in the
NBA. Yeah, right.
It wasn't quite that, and so I think that
it almost hurt his luster
a little in Virginia, really did.
Because he was an athletic quarterback, but not compared to Michael Vick.
I mean, no one is compared to Michael Vick.
Right.
So it almost did hurt him.
I know. I agree.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Right.
He's not Michael Vick. Like, no one is Michael Vick.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor is so good. And so, I mean, coming out of high school, he was the top dual threat quarterback ranked. And so he's been on the radar for a long, long time.
Yes, he has.
And so Tyrod Taylor is 40. maybe needs to be a little more aggressive if given the chance. And if he does that, he can move up
he
on this
could
list.
Move up.
But he probably won't play.
Probably won't.
Okay. So that's number 40, Tyrod Taylor.
And we hope not he doesn't play, because I'm like Phillip Rivers. I'm almost John Elwaying him this year, like where I want to see like this one's for John.
Yeah. If Phillip Rivers stays healthy with the team that's around him, they are a legitimate Super Bowl contending title team.
I believe so. Yes, they are. Now, the AFC West is real, and I get that. But, yeah, I look at the pieces on the Chargers and go, yeah, I would be shocked if they're not at least in the playoff convo in December. And really, I would be shocked, really, if they didn't make the playoffs in general.
Okay. Tyrod Taylor, number 40. Time for number 39.
Number 39
is perhaps the best college football name ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the name built for college football in Texas.
Especially at that school. Right. Colt McCoy is my number 39. And listen, this is where it was splitting hairs between him and Tyrod Taylor. And, you know. Also, I kind of made this list right as I got news as Colt McCoy was, still dealing with the leg injury and all that. But listen, I think highly of Colt McCoy. I do in a lot of ways. And, you know, stats and numbers and everything like that aren't going to say the whole story about Colt McCoy. Listen, the big thing is, again, another guy with a good athlete has a more aggressive demeanor than a Tyrod Taylor. He is looking to strike down the field a little bit more that way. Is his arm as good as Tyrod Taylor? No. But, you know, again, quick release, pretty accurate.
Right.
The biggest problem with Colt McCoy is when he's gotten the chance to really start or play and you go, oh, here he goes. He might be the starter here. He's gotten hurt, you know, a few times throughout his career, you know, twice with Washington as he's going to have a chance really to kind of take over. So I think that's really been the biggest downfall. But, you know, I think a lot of it with the Colt McCoy too, you know, he's a smart kid. He works hard. He understands the system. You heard what Jay Gruden said in the offseason. He's really kind of said it the last 2 or 3 years where he'd been very comfortable with Colt McCoy having to be his backup quarterback. He talked about early in this offseason he would have been comfortable with Colt McCoy going into the season as a starting quarterback.
Sure.
So that tells you what they think of him as a player. He is. He's one of those guys that's, you know, I think if he got a chance to prove himself without getting hurt a few times, he would have got a chance to maybe go to a lower level team, right? That was like, we don't know who our quarterback is, or maybe we need a bridge gap starter. He could have been that guy to maybe like prove yourself that you can be an NFL starter as we drafted a guy that might take your job in a year from now, but then maybe you can go somewhere else and be that kind of guy. He does have that type of talent. He just hasn't been able to string out consistency altogether. And, here he is in Washington. He's in a weird situation where, you know, I think
a lot of competition now this year.
Right, because Case Keenum's there. Dwayne Haskins there.
I think Case Keenum and Colt McCoy might be the same person.
Well, they're
a hard time differentiating.
They're very similar. They are. No joke. And, just for full disclosure, Case Keenum's going to be on this list. He's obviously not here, but they are very similar in style of play, skill set. I just think Case Keenum may be a hair better in all of those. But I think until they realize Colt McCoy wasn't going to be okay with this leg injury and they couldn't risk like maybe any, oh gosh, he might not be ready for training camp.
Right.
I think they were going to stand pat with Colt McCoy and then draft a Dwayne Haskins and just go, let's go into camp like this. But because of the McCoy injury issues and everything like that, they did sign a Case Keenum. And now, I don't know, Colt McCoy could be trade bait. He could get released at the end of training camp. There's a number of ways this could go.
So looking through his career, it's been, like you mentioned, an interesting up and down career. First 3 years in Cleveland, won 6 of the 21 games he started, which for Cleveland is actually a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, well, they were like a disaster at that point.
I was like, oh, he won 6 of them. That's good.
Right.
He's actually
right.
Probably one of the most successful Cleveland Brown quarterbacks in recent history. Started just 6 games since 2011, though. 4 years now with Washington. Did start a few games last year. Was in that Thanksgiving Day game.
Yeah, and he didn't play well in that game. He
and it
not.
Really was. That was the tipping point for almost both of those teams, where it was after that Washington won one more game the rest of the way. They were after that game, they were both tied 6-5.
Yeah.
Dallas lost one the rest of the way, and so that really was a tipping point.
Yeah, Washington was just that was the end of the road for Washington.
So many injuries
on the offensive line. They had across the board guys hurt at receiver, running back, and Colt McCoy did not play good in that game. Then looked better in the next week against the Philadelphia Eagles.
And broke his leg.
But he slides and breaks his leg, and then you go, and now he's going to start back at square one once again.
He is going to be healthy though. He does think he's going to be fully healthy.
Sounds like it.
Camp, so he will get a fair shot to compete with Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins as well. But
right.
I mean, it just was the incredible college career for Colt McCoy that really put him on the map. The four-year career at Texas, 13,000 yards, 112 touchdown passes.
Damn.
almost as many as Chris Sims when he was
whatever,
there.
Almost double.
He had a
yeah.
few more.
Yeah.
If what would be your Texas power ranking?
Of at quarterbacks?
All the former Texas quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
That they've had. Where's Colt McCoy in
all right.
that list?
Well, I think if we're going to just take Texas quarterbacks, right? I'm taking Vince Young one.
Vince Young is pretty clear one.
Pretty clear one. I mean, I don't know if you can really argue any Texas quarterback had a better year than Vince Young did in 2005, let alone maybe the greatest game we've ever seen any college quarterback have mm-hmm. in that Rose Bowl game against the USC Trojans. So, to me, I would go Vince Young one. I would probably go... James Street, number two.
I wasn't familiar with James Street until I looked it up.
Yep.
Played from 67 to 69.
Right, on two national championships.
Undefeated as a starter, 20-0.
Yeah. So that's pretty tough to beat there. I mean, only a magical year by Vince can basically upstage that.
Normally when we do like a power ranking now,
right.
the year is 2019, I don't allow anyone that played before like 2008
yeah.
usually, but I'll allow
you'll
it
allow this?
This?
Yeah. yeah, well, it's Texas. We got a long history. But James Street, who's the father of Houston Street. You might remember him, the pitcher out of the Oakland
Absolutely,
A's for a
yeah.
while, right? So, I would go James Street, too. Okay. I would go Colt McCoy, three. And then I'd probably go Chris Sims, four.
Oh, you make the top four.
I don't know. I feel like I got to make the top four
I think you're definitely in the top ten.
You think I'm definitely in the top ten?
100%.
Okay,
I'm 100% sure.
Thanks, friend.
You know who I would throw? Bobby Lane.
Oh, damn.
From
what am I thinking?
47.
I'm wrong. You're right. I'm not number four. I'm farther down. I'm five now.
You're moving yourself down already.
In fact, we might have to move Colt down, too. It might have to go Vince, James Street, Bobby Lane, Colt McCoy, then Chris Sims.
You know, I'm partial to Bobby Lane because growing up in Michigan and a Detroit Lions
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, sure.
He won the back-to-back championships for him in the 50s, a little bit before
my time. They
haven't
won since then.
No, they haven't.
No.
It was like they haven't ever won a Super Bowl, but it was like they won those NFL championships.
Yeah, right.
They just called them Super Bowls, and they could have had a couple, but he was really good. But I like that. That's good.
Okay, right.
So good. So he could be trade bait. He might not be on Washington's team, Colt McCoy.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
By the time we get going.
Yep.
But, number
and I might have messed. Yep, I might have messed up my rankings right at 40 and 39, but that's okay. I'm here to self-scout, and I'm Chris Sims, and that's what I do.
You know, and Colt may have had better numbers in his college career, but both of you drafted around the same spot.
Third round.
He was third round, 85th overall.
Okay, so he beat me there, too. He's 12 picks ahead of me.
Barely, but just barely.
Barely.
All right, number 38.
Number 38.
Competition for
Colt McCoy.
Staying
right in Washington.
This is the first, we haven't revealed this, right?
No, this is
the first time this is coming out. Number 38
Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, I'm making Dwayne Haskins number 38. Yeah, I mean, I certainly think Dwayne Haskins is one of the 40 best quarterbacks in football. I do, yeah. You know, again, he's got a chance to be the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins this year. I know we haven't seen him yet, but I'm going off of what I've seen in college football and knowing enough that he's more talented than some of the guys that we've already talked about or some of the guys that we've let off the list. You know, Dwayne Haskins, big body, strong arm, pretty good damn decision maker. I mean, really, the only negative you can really come to with Dwayne Haskins, okay, is this. Little lack of experience. He's only played 1 year in college football. But damn, that was one of the better years we've ever seen at quarterback, okay, in college football. When you throw for, 50-8? Was it 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions?
Yeah.
I'm just going off the top of my head.
4,800 yards?
Right. I mean, that's insane. I don't, you know, and the Big Ten's quality football right now. Other than the SEC, I'd go Big Ten would be number two, kind of dueling that with the ACC. So playing against a number of good defensive coaches, NFL defensive talent in the Big Ten, all of that. But yes, Haskins, I think, got really good feet within the pocket, can throw the ball from a lot of different angles with people around him, has a big-time arm. You know I'm big on being able to throw the ball with people around you.
Right.
And that's something, that's life in the NFL. If you're not playing for a team that's got like the best offensive line in football, everybody else is making throws under duress, uncomfortable, and he was very good at that at Ohio State. Really has superstar potential. You've heard me mention to guys or compare him to guys like Ben Roethlisberger. It's a very similar style of play. And a guy like Haskins is a guy like, you know, some of these younger quarterbacks, and we'll get into it as we go, but I got like an asterisk next to him because this is a guy that could be, yeah, he's 38 right now. But gosh, if I had to re-rank, you know, halfway through the year and he's the starting quarterback and blowing me away, he could be in the top 20 because he has that type of talent.
Third quarterback taken in the draft, 15 overall by Washington. You think they got a pretty good value there getting 15th
definitely.
Overall?
Yes.
Daniel Snyder from All Reports, super excited to have him. He was the guy that they were looking at.
Right.
So now he's in that competition with Case Keenum and Colt McCoy. They have had OTAs.
I know. And I know he's opened up some eyes already.
That's what they said. They said he reports he's getting the ball out fast.
Yep.
Quicker in the pocket than maybe people thought he would be.
They should have listened to Chris Sims' breakdowns because I said his feet were very quick. And even for the delivery of dropping the arm, a lot like Sam Darnold last year, yes, they dropped the ball in the arm, but they could do it in a really quick way, Ahmed, where they can just, you know, slant, screens. Yeah. They can get it out really quick.
And his path is interesting, too, because a lot of times you see, you know, these quarterbacks like this, big body, strong arms, are on the radar early in high school.
Yeah,
wasn't
right.
The case
He's
for
prototype.
Him. He wasn't offered until his junior year, originally committed to Maryland.
Yeah.
And then they fired Randy Edsall, and then he decommitted and went to Ohio State. JT Barrett was there while he was there, and so he was getting the starts. And it's like, boom, here he is now.
Yes,
it's not like he's been on this radar for a long, long time. And you wonder if that hurts him in some eyes of some people, some evaluators, that's like they haven't been talking about Dwayne Haskins for that long. And so you just do wonder, okay, how much of this is real and how much of this just was a one-hit, one-year wonder for Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I get those questions. But I think anybody that kind of watched his last year at Ohio State, you know, I would have a hard time believing you're not going to come away with a lot more good feelings than bad feelings. Like I said, the only thing I look at negative is a little lack of experience, maybe a little lack of immaturity as far as preparation for the combine and things like that.
Because you've mentioned that, and that's been mentioned a couple of times.
Right.
And you said he's only 21. He's now turned 22.
Yeah.
So he's older.
He's Gandalf the Grey now.
He should have known better, but you did mention that, and he's a 21-year-old, and he's acting like a 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Is that part of it, that he didn't take the combine as seriously as some teams had hoped he would?
I just think people felt like he was a little, you know, ill-prepared for the combine. You know, again, you know, I don't think he knocked people or blew people away in meetings, okay? That's the one thing I'll say. And then, yes, looked a little out of shape in the workout. I think he weighed in a little overweight from what people were expecting. It didn't look great in the workout clothes. And then he runs 140 with a very, you know, blah, blah, blah time at 5.04 and then says he has cramping issues. You know, these are NFL Army sergeants who were like, what? All I do is think about football every day. How are you not ready?
Was it ever one of those where they question how much the player likes football?
I don't know. I never heard that. Okay. Not at all. I think more people liked Dwayne Haskins. They really did. They thought he was a great kid. They love the talent. I think the thing that I always have people come back to me is he's 21 and he acts like he's 21. And I knew what they meant. They weren't trying to say it was a negative. We don't think he's a bad guy, stupid, anything like that. But, you know, there's been 21-year-olds, like we'll say with Andrew Luck, who was 21 going on 39 already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what they mean. And that makes coaches feel a little more warm and cozy at night than a guy who's 21 who actually acts 21 playing the quarterback position.
Well, now he's 22.
Whoa.
And so he needs to step up.
He needs to wisen up.
He was, and I didn't realize this, and you guys probably talked about this, he was the first Big Ten quarterback taken in the first round since 95.
Holy crap. No. Kerry Collins at Penn State. Yeah, right.
You know, there've been some good quarterbacks out of the Big Ten with Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
But none of them
in the first round.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's a good stat. I didn't even realize that.
You can use that one now going forward.
Thank you.
And so we did the Texas power rankings for quarterback. What about Ohio State? And so I've got some names for you.
Oh yeah,
here.
Please do.
You got.
Let me text my dad just to tell him we're going to be like 5 minutes late
because this is a good conversation.
It is.
Oh, that's right. Five. Okay. Well, I'll speed this along.
Yeah, don't worry. You're good.
Troy Smith.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor.
Right.
I think they're like 1 and 2. Although the year that Dwayne Haskins had, like no one beats
for
that
one year.
For 1 year, he's number one.
That's pretty strong. You're
for
right.
Career. I looked up Joe Germaine in there too.
Yeah, Joe Germaine's was good. How about the guy that won the national championship?
Craig Krenzel.
Right.
I'm partial to him because that was around when I was
right.
Really
he got what 2 years as a starter there. But I mean
MVP of the
Bobby Hoying back in the day.
Yep.
Arch Sleaster. Who was a first-round pick. You left him off your list, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, how dare you?
He's not on.
Yeah, Arch Leister, who had a gambling problem, who ended up...
That's why I left him off.
He ended up in jail. Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't condone that, and so I had to leave
him. Gosh, that actually is a really good power rankings, actually.
Troy Smith, Terrell Pryor, yeah, I know.
I think Troy Smith would have to be number one, though.
I think so, too,
that was a pretty damn impressive career he had at Ohio State.
Okay, there's 38.
All right.
And so we got one more, another reveal, and it is another quarterback who was just drafted in this most recent NFL draft. Number 37 is?
Drew Locke.
Drew Locke.
Missouri? Denver Broncos? Yes. Yep. I mean, hey, listen, I thought he was better than Dwayne Haskins coming out of the draft. I thought it was very close. So, yeah, I've ranked him slightly above a Dwayne Haskins. You know, now, listen, Drew Locke, another guy, you know, I don't expect him to play at all this year. I think it's going to be Joe Flacco's job. I think Joe Flacco has still got enough talent there to hold a guy like Drew Locke off.
And they want it to be Joe Flacco.
And they want it to be Joe Flacco. Exactly right. They're paying him $20-something million. They don't want to pay him that to hold the clipboard on the sidelines. So they're going to give him every right to fail in this situation. And I do think they're kind of building something a little better than people want to give it credit for in Denver, too. But Drew Locke, just getting back to that. Yeah, you know, I see big-time talent in Drew Locke. And I know there was a lot of teams in football who had Drew Locke as their number one quarterback on the board. I mean, we heard that John Elway, you know, had Drew Locke as the at least ahead of Daniel Jones on the board. I think he had Drew Locke as the number one quarterback on their board.
Wow.
You know, so they got him in the second round. But regardless, Drew Locke, there's a number of things I like about him. Again, athletic as can be. I mean, I don't want to say as can be. He's not Kyler Murray or Michael Vick, but extremely athletic to where he's going to run out of the pocket and make some big-time plays on the run or running out of the pocket, setting up, and maybe throwing a laser across the other side of the field. He kind of got that John Elway, Aaron Rodgers type vibe, Patrick Mahomes, as far as when it comes to back schoolyard, you know, backyard school type football, he can do that. He is a very accurate thrower, natural motion, very fluid, can get it out of his hands. You want to talk about throwing it sidearm, throwing it, you know, fading away, whatever it may be. The only knock on Drew Locke that people are going to go, it's not experience. You know, really, the knock on him is going to be last year he had some questionable decisions at times where he threw some dumb interceptions. Now, one, their offense was not very good last year, and they were coached like crap, too. There's just nothing else I can say. It was one of the most unimpressive offenses I saw. So that didn't help him out. When he was coached a little bit better the year before, he led college football in touchdown passes. I think he threw for 42 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions. So coaching does matter. The talent of your team does matter. And they were in the SEC where they weren't the most talented team in the SEC. He had to push the envelope on a weekly basis if they wanted to win football games. So, you know, some of the knocks about him coming out in the draft, I think, are not fair all the way, but I think Drew Locke's got big time talent. I got to pick up my pen.
4 year starter, over 12,000 yards, 99 touchdowns, career completion percentage of 56.9%. That's lower than you would probably like, so accuracy concerns.
Well,
there.
Yeah, I don't have
but
accurate
it could
concerns.
Be the offense.
It could, exactly right. You know, I went through this again. If he threw the amount of screens Kyler Murray did at Oklahoma, it would be a lot closer in completion percent. And that's not a knock on Kyler Murray. I'm just saying. I had the same argument with Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen the year before because I broke it down and Baker Mayfield threw 69% and Josh Allen threw at 56%. And I went down and broke down screens from every one of their games in their college year. Baker Mayfield got to throw somewhere between 9 and 11 screens every game. Josh Allen got to throw 1 and 3. Yeah. If you just took those completions there, their completion percentage was going to be like the exact same. So sometimes that's where completion percentage gets a little bit more made of a big deal. It's about the offense and sometimes what the offensive coordinator is delivering that's easy for the quarterback, too.
I think it was for the first time when you talked to him on this podcast, he revealed that John Elway had talked to him. He had been in contact with John Elway.
Yes.
And that he really enjoyed that meeting and that John Elway was very high on him. So what do we think? I mean, John Elway got his quarterback. He was ranked number one on his board.
Right.
What do we think about the history now of John Elway as a GM? Because he drafted Paxton Lynch first round in 2016.
Get it. Right.
Trevor Siemian was a seventh rounder, but that didn't necessarily work out.
Right.
Do we feel like he...
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. Do we feel like John Elway has had more of an issue than we thought he would in finding and developing and targeting those quarterbacks?
Yeah. I mean, has it been as good or as smooth as I would have expected it to be if you asked me 6 years ago? Yeah, I mean, no, it has not been. You know, first of all, John Elway does get some credit for bringing Peyton Manning into
Absolutely.
Town. He had the vision to go, wait, we went to the playoffs the year before with Tim Tebow, and that was a great story, and we went to the divisional round, but we got absolutely annihilated by the New England Patriots in that divisional round to where he looked at it and he said, there's no way this team can go any farther. We maxed it out with Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
We pulled off 9 miracles and pulled 7 rabbits out of our ass this year to go to the playoffs.
But that's what Tim Tebow does. He could have done that for his whole career.
Yeah, right, sure. But that, to me, took a lot of guts to make that move, to go, Because, hey, we're talking about a guy with, like, Mike Maccagnan with the Jets, where I wanted to go, he had a year like that with Ryan Fitzpatrick, where they pulled, like, nine rabbits out of their ass, where you make the next move, go to the next guy. And then it didn't work out with, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is the same type of thing. You know, so you got to give him credit for the Peyton Manning move, okay? Now, yes, Brock Osweiler, who he drafted in the second round, yeah, he missed on that.
But I looked, and I looked,
and it still wasn't horrible.
No, and it wasn't. And
he saved them.
And I looked through the drafts, too, and I was like, okay, who did he not draft that later in the draft?
There was nobody egregious,
right?
There
was no one.
No.
And the only one was, you know, 2016 was Dak Prescott in the fourth round, but so many teams passed on.
That, I mean,
if you go through it,
the Dallas Cowboys passed on him three times, and they wanted to trade into the first round to get Paxton Lynch. People forget that. I like Paxton Lynch that year. I remember. I thought it was a good move by the Denver Broncos then, too. So, yes, he missed. So be it. That's it. You move on. Trevor Siemian really is a good draft pick.
For
when
getting
you're talking
where you
about
were,
a seventh-round pick who you go, oh, wait, he's the starter of our team all of a sudden now? Or he's a really awesome quality backup? That was a good pick.
Right.
So we'll see where Drew Lock goes. I tend to think that this will be a great pick, and I know why John Elway liked him, because he probably saw a lot of his own self in a guy like
in
Drew Lock.
In 2012, he could have had, you know, Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, Kirk Cousins, but they also signed Peyton that year.
Yes.
So, you don't necessarily need it. You don't need
it. No, he thought, I have Peyton for the next two, three, 4 years.
So I think that's almost a little bit of a bum rap for Elway. There aren't many egregious...
You're right. It's not as bad as the media tries to make it out to be all the
time. No, because he's not drafting in the top five.
No.
It wasn't like he had a chance at the top five quarterbacks.
No, and if we're going to bag him on the quarterbacks, then we got to start talking about the other positive things he did when he, you know, gets an Aqib Talib in town and gets DeMarcus Ware to be a defense, at, you know, a defensive end in free agency and all the other moves he made that way. T.J. Ward to set up what we saw as one of the greatest defenses in the history of football in the 2015 season. So, you know, people are quick to bag on John Elway a little bit because I guess because he's an all-time great quarterback and nobody wants to give him credit for being a good GM and a quarterback.
We like to bash on quarterbacks.
Yeah, we do. So, all right, speaking of bashing on quarterbacks, where's that fucker Phil Sims?
Is he on the phone right now?
They're probably calling him
now. Okay, well, hold on. Before we get to him, I do. So we have a whole lot of podcasts we do here.
Yes.
PFT podcast well.
Yeah.
We've got the podcast here on a button. Catherine Tappan also has a podcast, and we're right in the heart of the Stanley Cup final between the Bruins and the Blues. And she's got the On Her Turf podcast that she's been doing for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
going strong. Has NFL legends on there. Amy Trask, the led the business operations for the Raiders for years and years and years with Al Davis. I was listening to that podcast a little while ago, and Amy talked about how she got into shouting matches with Al Davis. Just really interesting stories from a lot of the men and women throughout sports, throughout the years here, the past few years. And so that's another podcast we do here on our NBC Sports podcast.
Catherine is awesome, first of all. I mean, she's got a great feel for all sports. She loves it. She lives it. She is like total sports nerd. I mean, truly. I fly back with her from Notre Dame on Saturdays, and I mean, we sit in the seat, and she's reviewing how she did on TV. She's right on looking at every sports story in the world. And I'm like, damn, can't you take a break for like 4 seconds, lady?
Grinder.
Over there, but she is. She's a grinder. She's got a great way. She's got a ton of connections through sports. Got a lot of great stories. And she's a cool chick from Jersey, and you know I'm a little partial to those chicks.
Oh, absolutely.
From Jersey,
you know? Yeah, you move them up in your power rankings all the time.
The latest
episode, she's got Olympic ice hockey gold medalist Hillary Knight, Kendall Coyne Schofield, who's married to Michael Schofield, starting right guard for the Chargers as well. So a lot of cool stuff on the On Her Turf podcast with Catherine Tappan. All right, time to welcome in Dad.
Yo, let's do it.
Can I call him Dad, too?
Yeah, you can call him Dad. Call him whatever you want. Disrespect him. Do whatever you want.
Phil, are you there?
Ahmed, I am here. Hey. You can disrespect me.
No,
I don't care.
I would never have a desire to do that.
Listen, finally I heard my son say something that was true on these podcasts. He is a nerd. We just haven't decided what category to put him in.
Right, what kind of nerd.
Yeah.
So, hey, first of all, welcome back from Barbados. Correct. You were in Barbados for a while.
Yes, I was. People laugh at me. I go to sunny places for vacation when I don't go in the sun.
So that's what I want to know. How many times were you in the sun? And if you did, what was the SPF value of the sunscreen when you went?
I had baby sunscreen on. It was like glue. It was unbelievable. I put it only on my face because I wear long sleeves with my collar turned up and a hat with flaps that fall down to my shoulders. And I walk in the water. I know people are laughing, and I couldn't give a crap. Just look at my big old ass as I walk in the water, and that's it. That's it. I don't care.
You're not alone. There are a lot of people like that as well. But I do want to know, so why do you hate the sun so much? What do you have against the sun?
Well, I have tremendous sun. I have, skin problems everywhere.
Sure.
From head to my toe, it's either been operated on, removed, burned, this, that. I mean, Christopher, he knows. He has seen me.
Yes.
Sometimes I look like, I'm about one day away from death because I've got stuff peeling off of me everywhere just trying to combat it. It's been a struggle. Okay.
So the sun has been bad to you. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Fight back against the sun. Absolutely.
Then I go swimming at about 5 o'clock because down there the sun goes down about 6. So the sun heat is done. And, hey, come on. And I'm in the water the whole time, and it's great in that hour. And we have a good time. I find ways to keep busy. It's amazing. I read, do this, go to the gym, hang out, sit under the umbrella, talk to them, whoever's with me for a few minutes. My wife, I had my son go with me with his girlfriend. So that was great. We had a great time. And, hey, just sit at the table, bring the food, baby, so that was good, too. So it was all good.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back.
All right. Here we go.
Back to work.
All right, so back to work. All right, so hey, Dad, the first thing I want to hear you. I mean, the late great Bart Starr passed away this weekend at the age of 85. So we gotta pay our respects there. But it's something I talked a little bit on PFT with Mike Florio today. Just we lose the greatness of some of these old time quarterbacks at times because there's not NFL films and all these highlights all the times to show what they are. The numbers don't look as sexy. So I would love to hear your take on Bart Starr and what he was as a player and everything he brought to the game.
Well, he was such a nice person. He was very religious, treated people the right way. I met him many times. He gave me a little speech about, what I needed to do as a quarterback to make the team come along early in my career because we were terrible. And so that was really cool. And I think the big thing about him, I heard you say it this morning, so true. He was physically more gifted than we think, and we don't give him credit for.
Right.
He was a very good thrower of the ball, and, in an era where the climate change is different now because he played in Green Bay and they probably had one sunny day a year.
Yeah.
And the rest of it was snow, wind. I mean, he played, and I remember him growing up. He played a little bit. I was very young, of course, but I still remember it. Always bad weather. You're right. We didn't even get highlights in, but just a better quarterback. And it's kind of sad. And I heard the numbers you were talking about, and that's probably another reason why it's not talked. The numbers have changed so drastically. And the big thing I heard you guys say, which was really cool, he played in an era where he called all of his own plays.
Yeah, right.
And many good stories. Just one quick one, the Ice Bowl. He's on the sideline. It's the last play. What are they going to do? They're going to hand it off. Oh, I forgot the guy's name. He worked on Wall Street. The running back.
Jim Taylor? No. Not Paul Hornung.
Chuck.
I'll pull it up, so
Chuck
go ahead.
Chuck Marcin.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You got to give me some money for that one.
That was a good one.
But Bart Starr sees that the quarterback sneak could be there, so he takes it. But on the sideline, talking to Vince Lombardi, Lombardi goes, well, what do you think? He goes, well, we can run this play or I can quarterback sneak it. And Lombardi goes, well, get it done. It's cold out here. Let's go. And he turns and walks away from him. And that's the exact words that he told. Can you imagine that? Well, just call it. Let's just win this thing and get out of here. I'm cold. And, it was that was really cool. But he was, again, you said it, didn't get the respect. Won those championships because it wasn't Super Bowls, not going to get the credit there either. But really just a change in era, a change in a lot of ways of professional football. And with Bart Starr, Vince Lombardi being there together.
Yeah, right. That's where I almost feel like Bart Starr gets pushed to the side a little bit because of Vince Lombardi.
Greatness around him overshadows.
I'm sure you would know that feeling. to me, the most common comparison, I think, to a Bart Starr and Vince Lombardi, am I wrong here in saying it's Belichick and Brady? Now, I know Brady and the quarterback gets more credit this day and age, but to me, the Green Bay Packers seem like, you know, the first version of the New England Patriots in the NFL, and now the New England Patriots are doing what the Packers did, and they're kind of one-upping it.
Right, right. I think it's a really good comparison. Of course, so many years, and it's so different. I think it would be hard for normal people to see that comparison. I know this for a fact. You know, many things about Vince Lombardi. Father Ken Moore, our team priest with the New York Giants, was right. Vince Lombardi's best friend.
Wow.
And he would talk about Vinny, and he would tell me many, many stories. And you know, they were great. But Vince Lombardi, there's a book, When Pride Still Matters, one of the best sports books I've ever read. It was about Lombardi and through Fordham, Army, everything with the Giants and but he basically, not to say he was the first to do it, but the great Green Bay sweep.
Yeah.
They took it, and of course, when I see old films, they must have run the dang play 20 times a game.
Right.
But they changed the blocking scheme almost every time. In other words, the communication, the right tackle, I'll block the left guard's guy, you pull around and block my guy because we've got better angles. Yeah, that's very commonplace now, but it wasn't then.
Right.
Back then, and you talk about early 60s and all that late, it's like, hey, you block the defensive end. Well, what if he lines up here, coach? Don't worry about it. He won't. Just go get him.
Yeah.
So they were way in the forefront. And in the last, you know, I don't mean to get off of Bart Starr, go to the Vince Lombardi. But Vince Lombardi, was he tough? Yes, he was. And you know all about the toughness because every high school coach up here in northern New Jersey was Vince Lombardi when you played football, Christopher.
Well, yeah. I mean, my high school coach, Mike Mielo, he's got a connection with Vince Lombardi. That's who he tried to be. He's old school Italian, tough, hard ass, and will mother F your butt right away when you mess something up. And,
oh, my gosh. I mean, he had the voice that was the greatest football voice in quick story. You had a rich wide receiver. Don't say his name. Very good.
Yeah, right.
He had to run a 6-yard route. He ran it at 5. And I'm walking to practice, and I hear him going, rah, 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 rah. Let's count the 6 like your dad does. 1 million. 2 million. And I just went, wow, what a great line. And then one time I was walking up, and he was just tearing you up. And I went, I think I'm going to wait 5 more minutes back here at the car until this is over. And then I walked up to watch practice. I kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, you need a quarterback like Bart Starr, though, to, like, be able to handle a guy like that in the NFL?
Yeah. Is there one now?
Yeah. I mean, I don't – the only one, again, I can think of is maybe
– Brady.
Is Brady, right.
You know, truth, but he was very tough. And my point being, he was really tough on him in practice and always. But, you know, as you read the book, and you probably know these things, usually on Friday after practice or Saturday, he just would walk around and say, how proud I am of you. You're just, I love you and all this to all the players. And, you know, which is, that's what Parcells was. He was a tyrant during the week. He was awful. He was truly every day. I don't know how he did it. He performed or perfected the act of coming in mad about everything every single day. But then there was that moment, you know, you get ready to play the game. Hey, go for it. Play loose. Let's go. Don't try to be perfect. It's not a game of perfection. Take chances. On and on. You know, it's so. And Vince, that comes from the Vince Lombardi book. Right out of the book, when you read it, he did the same thing to his players. He buttered them up before the game to make them feel great so they can really perform up to their talent.
When you're born in 1955, so I know some of these Bart Starr years, you were still a young kid. But like when you were getting up there, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, was Bart Starr the guy at that age? Or was there anybody else? I mean, did Joe Namath or Len Dawson or Sonny Jurgensen or anybody else jump into that conversation? What was the – just take us back to that time.
Who did you want to be?
Who was your guy? Like,
well, by the time I really got into it where, this is the guy, there was two guys. It was Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach.
Okay.
You know, it was those two. You know, Bart Starr, I think I was still...
Yeah, you're young.
I wasn't to that stage where, man, you know, this is it. This is the guy and his number and everything like that. And so I wore number 12 in high school because of Terry Bradshaw and Roger Staubach.
Right.
And I always say the same thing. What was cool, I got to play against both. And yeah, it was an honor to lose to Roger Staubach twice my rookie year. I had him, we had him down two scores. Fourth quarter, I think, oh, my God, we're going to beat the Cowboys, and I'm going to beat Roger Staubach. I played well, two touchdowns my rookie year. And just right out of the book, they get the ball, bing, bam, boom, touchdown. We go three and out. Man, I miss a slant that could have won the game. I miss it. We punt. Bing, bang, boom, Cowboys, Roger the comeback kid or whatever, they beat us. Right. It was really cool. I think I told you this. I walk across the field. There he is. Congratulations. He goes, you really outplayed me today. And
wow, he made it personal, like you versus him, huh?
Yeah, he just goes, you really outplayed me today. We got lucky. And I just was like, wow. You know, I really kind of doubt if I said a word. I just looked at him and was like, oh, thank you, Mr.
I'll lose every game if I get that kind of compliment.
but that just says, you know, that's who he is. He is truly an unbelievable person. Stood on the field with him before Super Bowl when the Steelers were playing the Seahawks. And we're all going to get induced to Super Bowl MVPs or something. And he goes, man, let's get a football and throw some. And I just go, Roger, I think we're supposed to stand here. He looks down. I think he sees Matt Hasselbeck or somebody. Hey, throw me the ball. And he throws the ball. Roger starts throwing the ball around. And, you know, that's him. He was just truly just one of those guys. So pretty cool.
I love hearing about the quarterback, because I think it was a different time. Obviously, it was a different time. We got the numbers on Bart Starr when he retired.
Well,
he was eighth in football in passing yards.
Right.
He is now 77th in football in passing yards, and so they throw so much more now. But as far as, like, the leadership and calling the plays, and
sure,
the quarterback position just means so much. It still means a lot, obviously, but it seems like it means so much.
Well,
just think of this. They had to manage people than ever because, feelings are hurt, throw me the ball, this and that. It probably wasn't as prevalent back then as it is now, where guys are so worried about their numbers in the game. They don't care if they win or lose a lot of times, as long as I get my numbers and things like that. So they were managing the game for the coaches, but also all those players and trying. So that's... Well, I actually called my own plays my rookie year, the second half of the game against the St. Louis Cardinals at the time, and I couldn't wait. He goes, all right, you got it. I'm like, man, I'm ready. And I got in the huddle and go, damn, what am I going to call here?
Right.
It really, and you know, there wasn't many formations or nothing back then. I was like, all right, I'll just throw it. Okay, here, I just called pass play. It was very, very hard, so I can't imagine, even as simple as the game kind of was back then, that it still had to be hard just to manage the game, manage the players, and, of course, manage the expectations of your head coach.
All right, well, one last thing I want to ask you on that, and this is – I just want to give everybody, like, what Dad and I have a number of topics, and I kind of talk to him. We're going to hit some, like, deep-dive football stuff as we go on Tuesdays. Today, because of Bart Starr, I kind of wanted to go there, so that's where we're going to keep it on there. But I one last question before we get off the subject, and then we part ways for the day, Dad. When did the quarterback managing of the position change? You know, I've heard you so many times. We were talking about Bart Starr today, of course, and yeah, it wasn't always about completion percentage and I never throw an interception. Gosh, the year they won their second Super Bowl, I was looking at his stats, he threw 9 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. You know, it just was a different time. Dad, you've talked about how Bill Parcells used to be like, if you don't throw 2 interceptions today, you're not being aggressive enough. What changed it into this, you know, completion percentage?
No matter what we do, I used to get so sick of going into production meetings and all the coaches, not all, we just can't turn it over.
Right.
They're just, I'm like, oh my God. Okay, don't take it. I said, kneel on the ball every play. Okay, come on. Go ahead, kneel on it. You win.
What changed it, though, in your eye? Like, what was it? Is it the 49ers of the late 80s? Okay.
It definitely, I think, was the 49ers. Bill Walsh and the so-called West Coast offense as people. It took a while, too, before people started copying it. But, you know, I watched it many times on film, and I would watch them as we were getting ready for a team that they had just played, and I go, oh, my God, it looks so easy. They do so – oh.
Yeah.
There's Montana, you know, he was graceful to begin with, and just throwing the ball to the running back, you know, out of the backfield, running the route down the field. I just go, gosh, almighty. So, you know, and I just said this to you today, I can't remember all the guys, but I come up with these thoughts. Bill Walsh did something to change pro football. Vince Lombardi did things to change pro football the way it's played.
Right, the run
Buddy
game,
Ryan,
right, yeah.
With his defense, played the way it's still to this day. People play the Bear defense, of course, not the same way,
right.
But that was revolutionary. Lawrence Taylor changed pass blocking schemes in the NFL forever
right.
when he entered the league. And, you know, and there's one I'm missing, and it drives me crazy. I can't think
well,
of it.
Well, it could be – I know we've had this conversation before. I'll throw one. I know we talked about Peyton Manning and all the line of scrimmage stuff. We've talked about that
Peyton
before.
Peyton Manning changed it. You know, that's a great one. I'll just I had head coaches, I'd say something about Peyton, and they would say to me, oh, come on, are you kidding me? There's no way I'm putting my career in the hands of the quarterback. That's stupid. And da-da-da-da. Well, how'd it turn out?
Yeah, right.
And now that's expected of the quarterback.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
And probably a guy that I would put in that conversation without hesitation is somebody that's revolutionizes many things and changes and does things and different ways year in and year out. That's Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
it
right.
is a constant evolution of ideas, players, schemes, how to use the players, multidimensional. It just goes, everybody's thinking, well, I'll just say one thing. Everybody, we got to get to the quarterback. That never seems to be a theme for the Patriots.
You're right.
They do it with smart linebacker play. And they do it with matchups with defensive backs. They do it with defensive backs because they know, I'll never forget, they were playing a team in the playoffs. I'm not going to tell you who. And the quarterback was a little suspect. It was a big game. And I said something to him, and he goes, look, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, he just keeps going down the list of these great quarterbacks. And then he says the quarterback he's playing against, sooner or later, Phil, it's going to be 3rd and 5. And you know what? Just like clockwork. Run, 3rd and 5, throw it, interception. Brady comes in. First play, over the top, touchdown. I just sit there and go, oh, my God.
Oh,
it's played out just like. He goes, sooner or later, it's going to be 3rd and 5. He knows 3rd down, so he's built his whole team around. So we'll talk about it later, about New England, just the deep. I just counted on their roster.
Right.
I mean, how many defensive backs do you think they have in their roster right
now? Oh, gosh. Knowing them right now, I'm going to say, what do they got, 12 on there right now?
Oh, Christopher, please. Remember, it's a bigger roster now.
What is it, 16?
19.
That's 19. Unbelievable.
They don't have 20 yet?
Yeah, that's
19. Real. And listen, he will somehow keep more than anybody else.
Right.
Stash a few on the practice squad. Somebody's going to get hurt, this and that. And we'll get into talking about that.
We're going to talk about that next week. We are. We're going to talk about that next week. Patriots coverage and some of the things they do and what makes them special. I think that's worth the conversation. All right, we're done with you.
No, hold on. No, don't let him.
Wait, I'm about to ask you a question. Right. I'm sorry.
I got one more before we go. I just want to know. So we're revealing his top 40 quarterbacks. Just really quickly, I just want to know if there's any egregious omissions so far where you think the guys are way highly ranked. He's doing his top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL. We just kicked it off today. He's got 40 as Tyrod Taylor, 39 as Colt McCoy, 38 as Dwayne Haskins, and 37 as Drew Locke. We just started, so the tip of the iceberg. But
Thank you.
From what you've seen so far and what you just heard there.
And I've already admitted that I might have put Tyrod Taylor a hair too low.
I'm questioning
myself as I've talked it out here.
So I know.
Yeah, well, you should have talked to yourself out of it last night. I definitely would put Tyrod Taylor in front of Colt McCoy without question.
Right.
You know, I know all the things you say. But I think Colt McCoy physically was not the same guy when I watched him play last year. I'd seen like a couple years before.
Yeah,
not as quick, not as fast. The arm didn't look as it wasn't crisp. I didn't see the little pop in the arm that he used to have. Tyrod Taylor, look, he is a great backup for a good football team. So, and then you got Dwayne Haskins, 37. You said,
yeah, 38. Drew Locke, 37. 38? Yep.
Yeah, I would switch those two. I think Dwayne Haskins, you know, just the size, the arm, the experience through so many. I don't know. I think I feel a little more secure about Dwayne Haskins having success in the NFL than I do Drew Locke right now, because it's going to be a slower start for Drew Locke. But did we say this? How about Jay Gruden? I think we talked about it, Christopher, right?
Yeah.
After their mini camp.
Right.
Did you see him talking about Dwayne Haskins?
Yes, I did. I talked about it a little on the podcast that week.
He made some throws on. You know, and we know about the Grudens and what they, how they value their quarterbacks. Yeah. It's all about, you know.
No, I heard from some other people down there, too, that there was definitely some talk in the building after that first day or two of practice about Dwayne Haskins, and he was a little more impressive than I think they all thought he was going to be.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, hey, what's the most nervous day for front office people in the NFL?
I already did this. Yeah, I know that.
Oh,
yeah.
You stole it from me.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this you has know, been... This has been something you've talked about for years. I mean,
well,
yeah.
I know, but when you steal things from me, you got to say, you know, my dad told me this. I just want.
But he'd have to do that for everything he says, though, right?
No.
You can't do that.
All right. Well, that's good luck, Dad. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
See you, Dad.
All right. Later, Dad.
All right. Yeah, just call Dad.
I like that, too, because I'm glad that we got that in there that you've revealed.
He's all over the place on the Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock conversation. So.
There are times that he is higher on Drew Lock.
Oh, my. Next week, if we ask him the same question, I think he'll go back and forth. He's gone back and forth between Drew Lock and Dwayne Haskins so many times in the pre-draft process. I was like, okay, just tell me the day of the draft and we'll talk then.
Well, like father likes
it. Well, it was very close.
You've gone back and forth on Tyrod Taylor and Colt McCoy.
It is. You're right. I'm going to be nitpicky. I feel good from here on out, though. The bottom of the list is the hardest part of the list to do. So
because they're very similar. Right?
Yeah,
they're very similar.
Yeah, it's close. All right, we're done. We've done it. We did it.
Josh Allen or Josh Allen with Josh Allen on YouTube tomorrow.
Yes, it's coming on YouTube tomorrow. Yep, some of the good stuff we had up in Buffalo last week. But that Thursday, we're going to hit a number of topics. I don't even know where we're going to go with that yet, but appreciate everybody.
The full interview with Josh Allen.
Yeah, we'll do more Josh Allen stuff on Thursday.
And the top 40 continues.
And the top 40 will keep going all month long. It's just the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
All right, peace out. I'm Ed Fareed, Chris Sims. We're out of here. Have a good Tuesday. Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll check back in on Thursday.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.